than he'd believed. Clearly, the man marched him to a place of restraint, one that would limit the captain's options even further. Just as Maddox readied himself to make another attempt at escape, the man halted, jerking the captain to an abrupt stop. Voices drifted up the corridor. Did the man not like that? Maddox inhaled, getting ready to shout for help. "No," the squat man said. With amazing arm strength, he threw Maddox against the wall while keeping hold of the elbow. The captain smashed against the hard surface, his face whipping against steel. The man ran forward, pushing a stunned Maddox, who almost tripped as his feet shuffled faster. Then it became too much. The captain did trip, beginning to fall, but the man easily held him up. That indicated greater than normal mass as well as power. There was a faint click behind the captain. A hatch slid up in front of him. The man pushed the captain into the chamber. It was a stainless steel kitchen with pots, pans, and knives magnetized to the walls. With Maddox ahead of him, the man hurried down an aisle. "This isn't a spaceship, it's..." Maddox realized this must be a hotel or a casino's underground kitchen area. They must still be in Shanghai, maybe even close to Wu Tower. The man headed for a pair of swinging doors. He was detouring around the voices. That seemed obvious. Maddox did not inhale this time. The man seemed attentive, able to catalog the signs. The captain practiced deception, seemingly keeping himself in the exact stunned state as seconds ago. Then Maddox's right arm whipped out in a lightning move. He ripped a knife from the wall, twisting in the man's grip, and stabbed with force. He expected the weapon to sink past the man's ribs. Instead, the tip of the blade sank 2 inches before snapping off in Maddox's hand. It left a small piece of steel lodged in the man's flesh. The man did not cry out, although his eyes shined angrily. The fingers of his left hand tightened their grip. At the pain, Maddox's air expelled from his lungs. It might have dropped him to his knees, with iron determination as he attempted to ignore the agony the captain slashed. Using the broken edge of the knife, he tried to blind his opponent. The man was faster than humanly possible. He ducked his head so Maddox slashed at the skull. The blade cut through pseudo-flesh, sparking against a titanium plate underneath. The creature was clearly an android. Maddox realized the knife would not help him. The android was too strong, too fast, and too well armed against a kitchen utensil. He let go of the handle even as he realized this. The blade began to drop. The android's head rose, and Maddox grabbed at his service pistol tucked in the android's belt. He'd seen the gun earlier, his whole card. The android must have spied the move at the last second. It released the bruised elbow and leaped back. Perhaps its logic centers reasoned it could move away faster than Maddox could grab the gun. If so, the AI running the android had not calculated for the captain's phenomenal speed. The android jumped back, and Maddox raised his pistol, using his thumb to click off the safety. "It's time we talked," Maddox said, finding it difficult to speak due to his throbbing left elbow. The android froze. Maybe its logic centers had overloaded at this failure. Maddox backed up several steps, increasing the distance between them. That would allow him fractionally more time to fire if the android unexpectedly attacked. The android's face twitched with annoyance. That indicated an expensive AI processor. The user had bought the best, it would seem. "You are making a mistake," the creature said. "Apparently," the captain said. "You must come with me at once."
"I might do that. First, you must tell me where we would go."
"This is not germane at the moment."
"I most heartily disagree."
The android's face twitched again. "I do not represent personal harm to you, Captain Maddox. I assure you of this."
"That's a relief. You can't imagine my..."
"But I must insist that you lower the gun and continue with me," the android said, interrupting.
"And if I refuse?" Maddox asked.
"I will have to take the weapon from you."
"What's stopping you?"
"Is it not obvious?"
"I'm afraid not."
"In the ensuing struggle," the android said, "I could injure you. My protocols do not allow that."
Maddox studied the creature, the long gash on its head that didn't bleed. "You want me alive and unharmed, is that what you're saying?" I have already stated as such. Who would I see if I agreed to your proposal? It is supposed to be a surprise. Please, lower the pistol and come with me. Time is pressing.
Maddox took several more steps away and raised the pistol so the barrel poked against his own throat.
What are you doing? The android asked, sounding worried. I've decided to commit suicide.
The android blinked excessively as if the processors threatened to overload. Unless, Maddox said, cocking an eyebrow.
Yes.
You tell me who sent you and where you plan to take me.
Are you attempting to coerce me?
Maybe.
The android's features hardened. I will not succumb to coercion.
Yet you expect that I will?
Yes, you are.
The android paused.
I am what? Please, Captain, this is unseemly. I must return with you in my company. This is urgent, most urgent. You cannot conceive of the honor I am doing you.
Maddox decided he would receive no useful information from the android. He didn't know how he could capture it in his present state. He needed a communicator. He needed Sergeant Riker. A neural net would surely do the trick. How to get his hands on one before the android left was the question.
I'm leaving, Maddox said. If you wait here, I'll return shortly. You are coming with me. We must go down to the...
Yes? The android cocked its head as if hearing an internal dialogue. Abruptly, the android's mouth opened a trifle wider than seemed natural. That made Maddox uneasy. He removed the pistol from his throat and moved even farther away. A sonic blast erupted from the android's mouth. The horrible noise staggered Maddox, almost rendering him unconscious. The creature leaped, no doubt trying to catch him unawares. Maddox was a pistol marksman and able to think faster than others in such a situation. The creature was made of pseudo-flesh with titanium sheathing underneath. Maddox neither had the time to pump enough bullets into the thing, nor they the penetrating power to smash the android into harmless smithereens. That meant he had only one option, the eyes. They were logically a weaker portal straight to the AI, but the leaps and bounds the thing made jiggled the eyes, making them a difficult target. These thoughts flashed through Maddox's brain in less than a second of intuitive insight. Then he pulled the trigger. A spark against the bridge of the nose told him he'd missed. Another shot ricocheted off the forehead, leaving a smear of what some might have mistaken for blood. The next bullet entered the eye, smashing its way into the delicate brain case. A second and third shot followed, doing even more damage. The android lost its coordination. The eyelids fluttered madly while the body sailed limply, propelled by momentum. Maddox tried to dodge, but he was too late. The thing crashed against the captain, hurling him against a large refrigerator. The back of his skull slammed home with terrific force. Together, broken android and unconscious man crumpled onto the kitchen floor, the gun clattering away under a small space.
Chapter 2
Maddox groaned as his head throbbed painfully. For a moment, he had no idea where he was or what had happened to him. Then he remembered the android and their strange conversation. The captain unglued his eyes and found the construct on top of his chest. Maddox tried to push it off. That made his head throb even more painfully. For a second, his overloaded senses threatened to render him unconscious again. Maddox quit pushing, letting himself relax. There were faint voices coming from somewhere. Did people hurry here because they'd heard shots? That seemed likely. That would mean he hadn't been unconscious long. I have to get out of here. Maddox grew more alert. He realized he felt something ominous approaching. The palms of his hands had become sweaty. The certainty that this android was only phase one of his attempted kidnapping came crashing down on Maddox. He squirmed underneath the android. That threatened his head once more. This time he didn't stop. Instead, his breathing grew labored as bit by bit he slithered free of the android's broken weight. Instead of resting, Maddox searched for his gun. He looked around. Heavy footsteps neared the outer door. Maddox raised himself by his arms, looking up. The hatch slid open and a second android entered the kitchen. Maddox lowered himself out of sight.
This was a presumption, of course, of it being another android. Maddox didn't know it was just by looking. What made him think so was that the one standing by the door looked exactly like the one that had forced him into the kitchen, even down to the Wu Tower uniform it was wearing.
"Hello?" the new android said, sounding friendly. "Is anyone here?"
Maddox slithered across the floor as he searched for his gun. Several rows of stainless steel counters hid him from the new android. Once the creature entered farther, it would surely see him. The captain reached his targeted counter and wriggled his arm under it. He strained to reach his gun and back.
"I hear something," the new android called out. "Please show yourself. Time is limited."
Maddox strained harder so his fingertips brushed against the gun. If he did this wrong, he'd push the gun away from him. Footsteps struck the floor. The android approached. Gritting his teeth, Maddox used his fingertips to friction move the gun close enough so he could pinch the barrel with his two longest fingers. Then he pulled the weapon to him as he slid farther away from the counter.
"What is this?" the android asked. "Why are you stretched out on the floor? Are you injured?"
Maddox didn't look at the construct yet. Instead, he pulled the gun the rest of the way, sat up, swiveled where he sat, and finally regarded the new android with its quizzical expression.
"Captain Maddox," the second android said, "did you harm the construct lying on the floor?"
Maddox didn't believe this android would prove any easier to deal with than the first. Thus, from a sitting position, he aimed and fired, emptying the rest of his magazine into the second android's eyes. This one reacted in a similar manner as the first, crumpling where it stood, deactivating from the brain shots. As Maddox stood, he realized he'd overreacted. He was out of bullets and he didn't have any more magazines on his person. If more androids showed up, he no longer had a method of dealing with them. It was time to get out of here. Soon Maddox found himself wandering through dark hallways. He hadn't used the slanting metal corridor the first android had taken him through. That seemed unwise, even if it was the most direct path back to the surface and street. He was sure something would be guarded that way. Instead, he crept through narrower passageways, trying to find a different, hopefully unguarded exit. So far, the halls were empty and most of the doors locked. The open ones led into closets. The gun was back in its holster, but useless for the moment without bullets. Maddox kept a short, sturdy cutting knife beside his right leg. He wrestled with the problem of why someone would send an android after him. Did it have anything to do with the smugglers he'd been playing cards with in Wu Tower? The captain suspected it might. If so, what did that tell him? The most logical answer was that someone off-planet wished to speak with him. That implied the enemy. Before the last voyage aboard Starship Victory, the enemy had been monolithic. Everyone on Earth had known them as the New Men. Since defeating the alien destroyer, the New Men had fractured into the Throne World New Men, those with sympathies toward humanity, and the New Men working closely with Strand. Strand was what Maddox had come to think of as a greater Methuselah man. In the Commonwealth, the Methuselah people had taken longevity treatments, none of them older than several hundred years. Strand was something much older and more dangerous, because the alien and unknown builders were behind him. The situation had become increasingly complex. Professor Ludendorff was another of the greater Methuselah men, lost in the Xerxes system with its mysterious silver pyramid. Maddox halted, cocking his head. He heard, there it was again. A man blew his nose. He doubted a woman would blow her nose that forcefully. Should he retreat or advance? The captain stood in the gloom, debating with himself. It had been some time since he and his crew had defeated the alien destroyer. The vast ship had transported itself into the core of the sun, where the terrific energies had obliterated the killing machine. Before that had happened, however, the deadly machine had annihilated the New Arabia system, the heart of the Wahhabi Caliphate, along with the majority of the Caliphate's fleet.
That had slashed regular humanity's remaining space power by a quarter to a third. If nothing else, the destroyer had done the throne world's work for them. Star Watch had halted the new men's invasion armada over 2 years ago now. The Commonwealth had taken staggering losses before that. Maddox lurched in the direction of the noseblower. The sound indicated regular people, not more androids. The captain moved like a stalking tiger, with energy coiled in his limbs and cool concentration shining in his eyes. He wanted to be able to report to the Iron Lady more information than simply, "I evaded capture, ma'am." She would ask, "Yes, but what did you learn?" "Not to gulp tainted drinks," would be a poor reply. The truth was, the captain prided himself on his intelligence work, believing himself to be Star Watch's premier agent. He had considerable advantages, his dual heritage chief among them. That was the other reason he didn't want to report back empty-handed. Even if he didn't like to dwell on it, Maddox knew he was different. Despite everything he had done the past few years, too many people still distrusted his half-breed nature. One of his ways of compensating was by being better than anyone else. Thus, Maddox peered around the corner into a dim hallway. A light shined 60 feet away, illuminating a door in the corridor. A guard in a suit waited there. The man stood with his feet planted and his hands held in front of his body, as if he meant to hold the position for some time. He stared at nothing in particular, although he swiveled his head from time to time, glancing both ways. Who was in the room that needed a guard? Was a meeting in progress, or would one happen soon? Maddox stood undecided. Finally, he tucked the sharp part of the blade through his belt behind his back so it wouldn't be visible to someone in front of him. He straightened his shoulders and rounded the corner, in a long gait, swinging his arms like a man who had confidence in the situation. The guard noticed him, naturally. The man stiffened, shifted his head to the side, and spoke rapidly, no doubt using a microphone pinned to his collar. Afterward, the guard reached inside his suit but hesitated, pulling out a gun. That indication of uncertainty was interesting. Maddox hoped to get close enough to take the man's gun. As the captain neared, the door opened. Three more men in suits stepped outside. Each was big, held himself with confidence, and had the feel of being security. None of them had, as of yet, drawn a weapon. "Gentlemen," Maddox said in a cheery voice, "I do hope I'm not late." The guards glanced at each other. The one with a pinstripe suit stepped forward, clearing his throat. "I know you are, Captain Maddox," the man said in a deep voice. "You're not welcome here." Maddox grinned, saying, "Nonsense, I want to speak to your boss." The man drew a small pistol, aiming it at Maddox's belly. "Stop, or I'll shoot." Maddox heard the certainty in the guard's voice. He halted. "Turn around, Captain. You have no business being here." Acting on a hunch, Maddox said, "I played cards with your boss earlier. I came to collect my winnings." The guard opened his mouth to reply. "You don't think I'd let him cheat me, do you?" Maddox added. One of the other guards whispered to Mr. Pinstripe. He frowned, nodding, putting away his pistol. "Just a minute," Pinstripe said. He re-entered the room. Maddox began to walk closer. "Hey," the original guard said. "You're supposed to stay there." Maddox spread his hands, shrugging as he did. "I just want my winnings. I'll leave right after that." The three men glowered, but none reached inside his coat to draw a weapon. Maddox neared the group as Pinstripe stepped back outside. The man's head swayed just a little. His hand darted into his coat. "I told you to stop," Pinstripe growled. Maddox only felt a little lightheaded from the head trauma earlier. He realized he was as close as he was going to get without a reaction. Therefore, Maddox exploded into action and charged the remaining distance. Pinstripe was in the process of drawing the small pistol as the captain reached him. Maddox could have used the knife. This was the perfect situation for one, among a group of men trying to draw their guns. That meant, however, that Maddox would likely end up killing some of them. He did not feel the situation warranted the use of lethal force. Instead, Maddox practiced dirty combat, using knees, elbows, and the meaty parts of his palms, and grabbing two of them, swinging them against the others. The captain incapacitated the four guards. Two of them got off a single shot each. The bullets gouged the wall. None punctured the captain, although the original guard managed a solid hand chop against the captain's neck. It hurt, but it also infuriated Maddox, goading him to hit harder. The guard who struck him thudded against a wall before collapsing into a groaning heap. With swift economy of speed, the captain collected their guns, pitching the magazines in one direction and flinging all but one of the semi-automatics in the other. Afterward, he plunged into the room with his captured weapon held before him. He passed an empty bathroom and came to two large beds and a larger area with a sofa, several chairs, a table, and desk. Behind the desk sat one of the space hauler captains from earlier this evening. Maddox remembered the man's name, Terran Lucas III. The man was short, wore an English Space Navy uniform, and had narrow features. Maddox remembered thinking earlier that Lucas was an oily con man who seldom told the truth when a lie would work just as well. The man aimed a laser pistol at him. A stim stick smoldered in the ashtray while a communicator and tablet lay beside it. On the tablet was what looked like a business contract. "I've summoned reinforcements," Lucas said. "If you kill me, you'll be held on murder charges." "I doubt that will be the case," Maddox said. "All I have to say is that you fired your laser first." "I'm recording everything." "Of course you are. Still," Maddox cocked an eyebrow. "Are you saying Starwatch Intelligence will doctor the security data?" Lucas asked. "Please," Maddox said. "I'm not ready to make a recorded statement. But I do suggest you lower your gun, or I will be forced to fire." "Are you arresting me? If so, I would like to know on what charge." "As you wish," Maddox said, believing little of what Lucas was telling him. "By aiming your gun at me, you are knowingly threatening an officer of Starwatch Intelligence. To begin with, you will lose your hauler license." Lucas scowled, setting the laser onto the desk. Picking up the stim stick, putting it between his lips, he inhaled, making the tip glow red as he leaned back in his chair. No doubt he mentally flipped through various lies to tell, deciding on the most convincing.
"You should leave," Lucas said slowly. "This is none of your affair."
"What happened to me at the gambling table?" Maddox asked. "Surely you saw everything." Lucas shrugged. "I can have you brought in for questioning if you insist." Something sparkled in the man's eyes, the delight of having hidden knowledge, perhaps.
"I don't think you can," Lucas said.
"You were part of a conspiracy to kidnap an officer of Starwatch. You'll lose more than your shipping license, but also your freedom, and possibly spend the rest of your life on a prison planet."
"I pay my taxes,"
Lucas said, as if that was something he should say.
"I very much doubt that," Maddox said. "You're a smuggler, we both know that. Now, I want to know what happened to me at the gambling table tonight."
Lucas stared at Maddox before looking away. He shrugged once more, almost as if deciding, "What the heck, I'll tell the truth for once."
"You became limp and vacant-eyed during the game," Lucas said. "Esquire Noble asked if everything was all right. You didn't reply. He told us he would take you to the infirmary. You didn't resist as we helped you up. What were the rest of us supposed to do? The Esquire was a reputable person. We thought nothing of it."
"As I recall," Maddox said, "I was winning at the time. What happened to my chips?"
"All I can tell you is that I don't have them."
"That wasn't the question," Maddox said.
He sensed that time was running out. Something was wrong here. Lucas was too confident for a weasel confronted by an intelligence officer. The tip of the stim stick glowed once more. Lucas was thinking again. He said,
I don't know what happened to your chips. I lost too much money tonight and left early.
The smuggler fiddled with a tungsten ring on his middle finger as he said that. Maddox was sure Lucas was lying about the losing.
Who was Esquire Noble? Maddox asked. The man who escorted you from the table.
Do you know him?
Lucas twisted the ring again before shaking his head.
Who are you meeting here?
Maddox asked, deciding to switch directions, hoping to throw the smuggler off balance. To give himself more time, or so it seemed, Lucas laid the stim stick in the ashtray.
Stay and find out if you like. I'm sure you'll find it illuminating.
Had the man changed his mind? Whatever the case, it was time to accelerate this. Maddox slid his pistol through his belt, smiled, and stepped directly in front of the desk. That must have made Lucas uneasy. The man grabbed for his laser. Maddox proved faster, plucking it from the desk. With his other hand, he took the communicator.
Just what I need, he said.
Lucas swatted at Maddox's forearm. For just a second, the captain saw something glitter under the tungsten ring, a tiny spike aimed at his flesh. He snatched his forearm out of the way. The hand swept past. Abruptly, Lucas stood, trying to prick Maddox a second time by swinging once more. The captain was too fast for that. He flicked his arm out of the way and backhanded the back of the smuggler's hand with his other hand. The undoubtedly poisoned tip must have caused Maddox to hit too hard. Lucas's hand continued to swing in a parabolic arc propelled by the blow. The smuggler ended up pricking the side of his own arm. Lucas jerked his hand away and stared at Maddox with an accusing glance. The color drained from Lucas's face. He took a step back, then a second one. He opened his mouth to say something. Instead of completing his thought, his eyelids fluttered and he crumpled onto the carpet. His legs twitched, his entire body thrust up spasmodically. Then he moaned and his body stilled as he quit breathing. Maddox watched the display with fascination. That could have been him. Why had Lucas tried to murder an intelligence officer? Abruptly, Maddox punched an emergency code into the communicator. He put it to his ear, hearing a harsh buzz from the speaker. The communicator worked, but something or someone jammed the signal. This was getting complicated. Maddox studied the dead smuggler. Could the man have a jamming device on his person? Walking around the desk, Maddox knelt beside the corpse, feeling inside the jacket. As he did, people entered the room. Hadn't Lucas said he'd summoned others? Maddox looked up, his eyes widening with surprise. Three spacers regarded him. The spacers were short and slender with deep space tans, wearing blue uniforms that were tight around the throat. Each wore dark goggles and skin-tight gloves. They were the last people Maddox would have expected here. A spacer woman stood in front of the two men. She drew a projac, a stubby handheld weapon, aiming it at Maddox.
Hands up, she said. You are under arrest for assaulting and possibly murdering a spacer national.
Chapter 3 Maddox regarded the woman's impassive features. It was difficult to get a good read of her because the goggles hid her eyes. Why would spacers be here? A premonition of having made a terrible miscalculation struck the captain. He was in Shanghai. This could be the...
Is this the Lin Ru Hotel? He asked.
Yes, she said. This is our Earth Embassy.
The spacers had odd conceptions of territory. What other people rented out rooms in their headquarters building? Still, if this was the embassy, this was technically spacer territory. Or, more aptly said, that legally this made it a spacer vehicle governed under their unusual code of conduct. It meant the woman had a legal right to arrest him, and he lacked a legal right to resist. If he could have placed his call, a Star Watch combat team would have been on its way already. That might have made even more legal complications, but it would have let headquarters know he was here. As it was, Maddox was still very much on his own and possibly in a sticky situation.
You are not complying with my order, she said. Are you resisting arrest?
Spacers were intensely literal and known for their lack of humor or ability to understand shades of meaning. Maddox decided to mollify her and dropped the laser.
"And the gun in your belt, please," she said. "Put it on the floor."
He stared at her, debating options.
"I will burn you down if I must," she said. "A Spacer National is prone, and you were molesting his person."
"Terran Lucas III is a Spacer?" Maddox asked. The woman nodded curtly. That didn't seem right. Maddox said, "Earth records indicate otherwise."
"I believe you are attempting to employ delaying tactics against me. Either you disarm immediately or I will fire. You have 3 seconds to comply."
Maddox plucked the pistol from his belt, dropping it beside the laser. Spacers did not make idle threats.
"Stand up," she said.
Maddox stood, assessing the situation as he did. The woman must be a provost officer. By their circular pectoral patches, the two men were provost sentries, marines in Star Watch terms. Spacers were one of the major political entities in human space. Before the alien destroyer, the key political forces had been the Commonwealth, the Windsor League, the Wahhabi Caliphate, and the Spacers. A handful of other political conglomerates existed, but none of any major significance. As the name implied, the Spacers did not have a planetary abode, but lived in vast home ships. They did not claim any star systems as such, but traveled away from conflicts. The nature of their nomadic society had led to political conservatism, rather than the radicalism practiced by the new men. Spacers involved themselves in trade, exploration, and mining, making their greatest technological strides in gas giant extraction. The most closely guarded secret among Spacers was the location of their giant industrial vessels. The majority of Spacers were of Southeast Asian origin, particularly from old Thailand, Cambodia, and Vietnam. The Wahhabi Caliphate had gone to war against the Spacers 30 years ago, inflicting the most devastating losses against the 9th Thai Fleet.
"Your uniform suggests you belong to Star Watch Intelligence," the woman declared.
Maddox nodded.
"This is an official spy mission, then?" she asked.
"No. I was brought here under duress."
"I doubt that."
"I'm not suggesting a spacer did it. In fact, an android brought me to the Lin Ru." The woman looked as if she'd tasted a lemon.
"We neither use nor condone the use of androids."
"I am aware of that." The woman spoke with growing distaste.
"Is the android presently in the embassy?"
"In one of the basement kitchens," Maddox said. "You'll find two of them, both dysfunctional." Her head twitched in the negative.
"I do not care for the direction of your allegations. In fact, by saying androids brought you to the Lin Ru, you slur the embassy. That suggests this is a setup. I will have to inform the ambassador's secretary."
"As you wish," Maddox said.
"You are unnaturally calm. You must not be aware of the penalty for assaulting a spacer in a ship. It is death by asphyxiation. But since we are not in space, death by any other means will suffice."
"I understand. But I did not assault Terran Lucas. He assaulted me and I defended myself. His own treachery killed, incapacitated him." She sneered.
"The evidence tells a different story."
"Examine the video." She shook her head.
"There is none to examine, as we do not allow recording equipment on our premises."
Maddox shook his head at Murphy's Law in action. The one thing he'd believed Lucas had told truthfully ended up being a lie, it figured.
"By the authority invested in me as the provost officer on the bridge, in this case in the embassy," the woman said, "I declare you guilty."
"I appeal your verdict," Maddox said.
"And I reject your appeal."
She raised the Projack, putting pressure on the trigger. Maddox realized she planned to kill him on the spot. The knowledge almost froze him. Instead, he shouted, trying to startle her. She flinched, then her arm stiffened as she retargeted. The delay allowed Maddox time to remember the knife tucked behind his back. He reached there, grabbed the handle, and flung the kitchen utensil at her gun, hoping to knock it out of her hand. At the same time, he threw himself to the side, rolling. The Projac fired. A bolt of power sizzled, singeing the right top shoulder of Maddox's uniform. The spinning knife reached her, the tip entering the back of her hand in a nearly perfect throw. She cried out in pain, dropping the Projac. Maddox was already on his feet again. "Restrain him!" she shouted, clutching her injured hand with the knife still sticking in the flesh. The sentries came at Maddox. He towered over them and had to outweigh both combined. Maddox shouted again, lashed with his left foot, sweeping the feet out from the first sentry. Maddox twirled martial arts style, hopped onto his other foot, and leg-lashed the second sentry. It catapulted the man so he crashed over a bed and disappeared from view onto the other side. Seeing freedom, Maddox bolted for the door. The first sentry, who lay on the floor, hit one of Maddox's ankles in passing. That tripped the captain, so he sprawled onto the rug. Like a spring, though, he bounced back up. That gave the sentry time to lunge at Maddox as he drew a shock rod. With a loud sizzle of power, the rod stroked the captain's left leg. It went numb, and Maddox fell back onto the rug. The captain lacked the same speed the second time. He rose, balancing on one leg. The first sentry scrambled upright with his shock rod. The second was still unconscious behind the bed.
"Hold,"
the woman said. The sentry glanced at her. Maddox might have lashed out. He refrained as the woman aimed the Projac once more, using her left hand. She pressed her bleeding right hand against her torso.
"Fate has decreed you to die," she told Maddox. "There is nothing you can do to evade the penalty."
"Perhaps you're right," Maddox said. Gingerly, he put weight on his shocked leg. It had gone numb. Once he realized he wouldn't topple, he studied the woman. Despite her insistence, she seemed hesitant to kill him outright. Had curiosity stung her? If so, he must cultivate her curiosity to prolong his existence. "I'm surprised a provost officer isn't curious about androids invading her embassy," Maddox said.
"The answer is simple," she told him. "I didn't believe you about the androids. I'm curious concerning your combat technique, however. The knife throw with a kitchen utensil, it was fantastically well executed."
Maddox nodded as if embarrassed by her praise. "Starwatch Intelligence teaches its operatives intuitive techniques. This allows us to use any item at hand, turning it into a deadly weapon." That wasn't true. He had gotten extraordinarily lucky with the throw. But sometimes people were happier with outrageous answers. Besides, it was good for spacers to believe SW Intelligence had superlative agents. "I'm impressed with your sentries," Maddox said. This seemed like a good moment for a compliment. "They fought much better than I had anticipated." The woman gave a curt nod, saying flatly,
"Our sentries are the best."
"I've heard that, of course." Maddox shook his head ruefully. "Until this moment, though, I hadn't believed it."
"Your Earth-centric prejudice blinded you," she said.
"No doubt true," he said. There was a pause. She regarded him more closely. By her stiffening features, it seemed she had decided to continue with the execution. "Do you know," Maddox said a second before she raised the Projac higher, "androids are notoriously difficult to stop. It's possible you, as a spacer, don't realize this." The woman seemed to consider the idea. Spacers had a well-known pathological hatred of androids. Maddox had forgotten the reason for this hatred. Sometimes, however, people who had an intense loathing of a thing also had a secret interest about the subject. The woman delicately licked her lips, slightly bending her head forward, indicating curiosity.
Did the android possess a name?
"Yes," Maddox said. "Esquire Noble." The woman stiffened in outrage. "You recognize the name?" Maddox asked.
"This is unwarranted," she hissed. "You mock us in our own embassy after slaying a spacer national. You..."
Her cheek muscles bulged as she ground her teeth together. "Who is Esquire Noble?" Maddox asked, astonished by her reaction.
"As if you don't know," she said. "That is the ambassador's name."
Maddox frowned. Hadn't the android worn the livery of a Wu Tower employee? Why would someone make an android to look like the spacer ambassador?
"Lucas lied to me," Maddox said.
He's the one who told me the android was named Esquire Noble. I think he was playing a trick on me.
The provost officer said nothing and didn't twitch a muscle as the Projack aimed at Maddox. Finally, she said,
"Describe this so-called android."
Fearing the android might look like the spacer ambassador, Maddox said, "It was tall, with gray hair." She relaxed her stiffness a fraction.
"Esquire Noble is stocky by our standards. His strength is also legendary."
"Ah." She motioned the conscious sentry to go and help the unconscious one. The man did so while keeping his distance from Maddox.
"Where did you say the androids were again?"
the woman asked. "I fought them in the lower levels, but they managed to escape," Maddox lied. According to her description, the androids had looked like the ambassador. He didn't want her inspecting them while he was around. The woman was trigger-happy. He needed to escape the embassy and get back to Star Watch headquarters.
"Tell me what happened with the men outside this room," she said. "You obviously assaulted them."
"I did," Maddox agreed.
"Since you freely admit your guilt, Provost Officer,"
Maddox said. "I was kidnapped from Wu Tower earlier this evening. Soon thereafter, the android forced me into your embassy. I have been trying to escape ever since. The men outside this room hindered me. That is why I was forced to defend myself."
"That is a serious allegation," she said.
"Thank you," Maddox said. The woman frowned.
"I do not understand your reply."
"A kidnapped person has an obvious right to defend himself. This right I used."
"By attacking legitimate guards and assaulting a valued guest of the Lin Ru?"
she asked. "I thought you said Lucas was a spacer national." She became silent as her projack lowered some.
"It's possible I spoke too hastily. Lucas was in the process of applying for spacer status."
"Provost officer."
"Yes,"
she said. Maddox had almost accused her of bias. Spacers were extraordinarily proud of their rigorous thought. She seemed touchy, and a direct accusation might have a negative effect. That wouldn't do as long as she was the only one with a weapon. "Terran Lucas was at a Wu Tower gaming table tonight," Maddox told her. "Someone slipped me a drugged drink earlier. I believed Lucas had a hand in that." This seemed to finally get her attention.
"Explain,"
she said. Maddox told her about the card game, the slipped drink, and his coming to while entering the Lin Ru. The first sentry had helped the second to his feet by now. They stood behind the woman. While keeping the Projack aimed at Maddox, she stepped beside the sentries. They conferred together in spacer cant. Try as he might, Maddox could not understand the quickly spoken lingo. The woman stepped away from the sentries.
"What is your name?"
"I'm Captain Maddox of Star Watch Intelligence," he said, bowing slightly. The woman's lips thinned before she said,
"That's preposterous."
"I have an ID if you'd like to examine it." As he said that, Maddox realized he'd lost his wallet. The woman scoffed.
"Are you suggesting you're the same individual who defeated the alien destroyer?"
Maddox nodded, understanding her unease. She remained motionless for a second. Then, with a swift move, she holstered the Projack as her demeanor changed.
"I beg your pardon,"
she said in a softer voice.
"I did not realize."
Maddox raised a hand. "It's no trouble, Provost Officer." He took out Lucas's communicator. "Someone is jamming the signal. I would like to report in." She hesitated only a moment longer. Reaching into her jacket, she took out a unit and clicked a switch.
"If you'll try it now," she said.
Maddox did so, calling headquarters. Major Stokes answered and agreed to send a flitter with Sergeant Riker. Maddox quietly explained one more item. Afterward, he looked up. "The Major would like a word with you, Provost Officer." Reluctantly, the woman accepted the communicator, listening to Stokes. She handed the comm unit back a moment later.
"I will escort you to the roof,"
she told Maddox. He nodded. He wanted to examine Terran Lucas, the guards in the corridor, and the androids in the sub-kitchens. However, he had a nasty suspicion that the androids looked exactly like the ambassador, and that could create trouble for him. Thus, Maddox wanted out of the embassy at the soonest possible opportunity, so the woman couldn't change her mind about letting him live. "Yes," he told her. "Let's head for the roof." Chapter 4 Maddox stood on the roof of the Lin Ru waiting for Riker to show up. Other Shanghai buildings surrounded the hotel, most of them taller. The stars glittered in the night sky, barely visible because of the city's bright lights. It made Maddox wonder how he'd seen the stars earlier. The provost officer stood beside him. The sentries had remained inside. Now that he was out here with the threat of immediate death removed, the captain decided to attempt to rectify the android situation. "Provost officer," Maddox said. She became more alert. "Have you sent a team to inspect the androids yet?"
"You said they escaped," she told him.
"Are you sure that's what I said?"
"Yes, you..."
She regarded him more closely.
"You switched your story, didn't you? I should have noticed. My sentries..."
"Changing the story seemed convenient at the time," he said. "The androids were in a basement kitchen." She spoke into a microphone using spacer cant so he didn't understand her. Looking up, she asked,
"Could you be more specific regarding which kitchen?"
"It was off of a long, slanting corridor." The captain described the entrance as best he could remember, including the giggling women and clinking glasses just before that.
"You must have come through the service entrance," she said. "Yes, I think I know."
Once more, she spoke into her microphone. She waited, expectantly, asking a question now and again into her microphone. Maddox kept watching the sky, wondering if he'd made a mistake regarding the androids. Finally, a flitter appeared, flashing over Wu Tower. It was a small air car with a bubble canopy, a two-seater with extra space in back for baggage. With only a little sound, the flitter floated onto the landing pad. "Thank you for your help, Provost Officer," Maddox said, extending his hand. She shook hands. Hers was narrow and fine-boned.
"Just a moment, Captain,"
she said, keeping hold of his fingers.
"The sentries are reporting in. There are no bodies in any of the sub-kitchens. Why do you think that is?"
"There must have been a third android," Maddox said. She thought about that.
"Yes, I suppose that's it."
Her grip tightened.
"You are a great man, Captain Maddox. Your deed inside the World Destroyer has become legendary. I think it's a shame Starwatch hasn't released more information regarding your exploit."
"I didn't do it alone," he said. "Without my crew, I never could have achieved the miracle."
"We all need our crews," she said, releasing his hand.
Maddox agreed before heading for the flitter. Soon he climbed in. Sergeant Riker sat in the driver's seat.
"Captain,"
Riker said, nodding. The sergeant was an older man with leathery skin, a bionic eye, and a fully bionic arm. The sergeant had lost the eye and the arm in a blast many years ago on a desperate mission on Altair 3. Some time ago in the destroyer, Riker had lost the bionic arm. His latest model had a few advanced features compared to the previous arm. Riker was a salty operative, fiercely loyal but cranky at times. The old guard in intelligence believed he acted as a foil for Maddox.
"Here you go, sir,"
Riker said, handing over several loaded magazines. Maddox slid one into his service pistol. Riker adjusted the controls, taking the flitter up.
"Head to Wu Tower," Maddox said, shoving the pistol into his holster. "Begging your pardon, sir, but the Iron Lady would like a few words with you first."
"In time," Maddox said. "In time."
"Sir," Riker said. "You can tell the Brigadier that I was in such a hurry that you forgot to relay the message."
"Sir."
"Take us down, Sergeant. I want—"
"It's time you learned to take orders better, Captain,"
the Brigadier said from the comm unit in the dash. Startled, Maddox quit peering outside and noticed Brigadier Mary O'Hara, the commander of Star Watch Intelligence, staring at him from the tiny dash screen. She had gray hair and a matronly image and a reproving frown.
"Ma'am," Maddox said, "this is a surprise."
"So is your lack of judgment, Captain,"
O'Hara said. Maddox pursed his lips, noticing out of the corner of his eye that Riker gave him an "I tried to tell you" look. Captain was surprised he hadn't noticed the screen being on as he'd entered. Could the drugs still be having an effect on him?
"What happened tonight?" O'Hara asked him.
Maddox gave her a rundown of the situation, including his time in the Lin Ru.
"An android that looks like the Spacer Ambassador," O'Hara said. "That's strange and ominous."
Maddox nodded absently.
"Surely you see the connection, Captain,"
O'Hara said. "Connection?" he asked.
"With Professor Ludendorff," she said.
"Ah, yes, of course," Maddox said. He should have seen it right away. The drug definitely still hindered his thinking. During the destroyer incident, Starship Victory had been in the Xerxes system. The system contained a builder pyramid. Fully functional builder drones had appeared, as well as new men star cruisers. The new men used the silver pyramids sprinkled throughout human space and in the beyond to make 100 light-year jumps. The pyramids contained builder technology, as did the star cruisers. The point of the Iron Lady's comment was Professor Ludendorff in particular. When the professor had gone to an asteroid base in the Xerxes system, he or the builders, someone in any case, had made a switch with Ludendorff. A nearly comatose android looking like the professor had returned to Victory. Was there a connection to the Ludendorff android with the Esquire Noble One here in Shanghai?
"Have the spacers been compromised?" O'Hara asked.
"That's a serious allegation," Maddox said, remembering with a grin that the provost officer had used the same term against him.
"You find that amusing, do you?"
O'Hara asked. "No, ma'am," Maddox said. "It's dreadfully serious, if true."
"Whoever is using androids fooled us once already. Without the assassination at headquarters, we might never have learned the truth about Ludendorff."
An assassin among Lord High Admiral Cook's guards had shattered the Ludendorff android's head while in the custody of Starwatch. The act had saved the Commonwealth from giving high command to an android.
"This could be a much greater problem than I realized," Maddox said thoughtfully. "If an android is running the Spacer Embassy..."
O'Hara waited.
"If the builders, or whoever, have slipped an android into space high command, why use that android to capture me? That's too small of a prize, considering the risk."
"I can think of plenty of reasons why," O'Hara said. "The most obvious is to make a switch. In fact..."
Maddox felt his heart rate accelerate. He couldn't believe what he was hearing. He already had trouble with many in Star Watch. Too many distrusted him because of his hybrid nature. One of his anchors through all this had been Mary O'Hara. In many ways, she'd been like a mother to him. She defended him when everyone else was ready to burn him as an unnecessary risk. Now, the Spacers, or this Esquire Noble android, had cast doubt on him in the Iron Lady's eyes.
"I suggest Star Watch give me a complete physical examination, ma'am. If the Spacers have switched the real me with an android, I would like to know it."
Her features had become pinched.
"I do not want to order this, Captain."
"I want you to, ma'am. If our enemy can make us doubt each other, they'll be halfway to victory. Without trust..."
"You're right, Captain. I want you to head to Geneva on the double."
"Headquarters doesn't seem like the right place. If I'm compromised..."
"Captain, I am not in the habit of having my officers argue with me. You will proceed here at once, do you understand?"
"Yes, ma'am."
"I need my best people now more than ever. We're finally on the offensive in C Quadrant. That means we must be doubly on guard back here on Earth."
"I'm on my way," Maddox said. "Is there anything else?"
She hesitated before saying,
"No. Until then, Captain."
"Ma'am,"
he said, clicking off the comm unit afterward. Riker glanced at him in a peculiar manner.
"You have something to say?" Maddox asked.
"Wouldn't you know if you were an android, sir?"
Maddox took his time answering.
"I'm wondering if the Ludendorff android knew it was a fake."
"No.
It's possible I wouldn't know."
"That isn't reassuring, sir."
Maddox shook his head.
"No, it isn't.
He positively hated the idea of being a fake. Also, if he was an android, where was the real Captain Maddox? Was that why he'd felt so fuzzy before, because he wasn't really himself?
"Can't you fly this thing any faster?" the captain demanded.
Riker glanced at him uneasily before accelerating, leaving the glittering lights of Shanghai far behind. Chapter 5. Captain Maddox sat stiffly on a hospital couch, stripped to his briefs. There wasn't an ounce of fat on him. In fact, he almost seemed too lean until he moved. Then his muscles showed to startling effect.
"Now I understand why the Brigadier wonders if you're a living machine," the doctor said in a jocular tone. "I've never seen anyone in such a high state of physical conditioning."
Maddox refrained from responding. The more he dwelled on the subject, the less he liked it. Wasn't the ancient dictum, "I think, therefore I am," he thought. Yet he could be a pseudo-person. He found that more discomforting than ever.
"This might hurt," the doctor told him.
The older man in a white gown used a handheld device, holding it against the small of Maddox's back. The thing hummed, and an area there became cold. A moment later, Maddox could no longer feel the spot. The doctor picked up a longish needle. Maddox tried to ignore it, but he kept looking at the needle sideways.
"Steady now," the doctor said.
He put a warm hand on Maddox's back and pushed the needle in the numb area. The captain clicked his teeth together, holding himself perfectly still.
"Interesting,"
the doctor muttered.
"What is it?"
Maddox whispered.
"Just a minute,"
the older man said. He pulled out the needle. Maddox looked back, seeing blood in the hypodermic.
"Does that mean it's me?"
"I'll be right back,"
the doctor said, refusing to meet his gaze. The man hurried from the room, holding the hypodermic as if it were a prize. For just a moment, while the door was open, Maddox saw Marines outside, armed and stoic-faced. This was serious business. The captain hopped off the crinkling white paper. He reached back, probing with his fingers. The spot was still numb. He withdrew his hand and saw a speck of blood on a fingertip. In his hurry to leave, the doctor hadn't swabbed or bandaged the area. Maddox remedied that, although it proved awkward. Using a mirror to help him see, he pressed a bandage on the area. Then he put on his uniform. Riker had brought him straight to the Navy hospital in Geneva at Star Watch headquarters. After closing the last button, Maddox began to pace. His mental unease surprised him. How could he doubt who he was? If he hadn't seen the Ludendorff android assassinated many months ago, he wouldn't be having such a hard time with this. The android had given every indication of being Ludendorff, even managing to infuriate just about everyone. What had happened to the real professor? Maddox liked to think the man had survived his fate in the Xerxes system. Had the builders scooped him up? Had Ludendorff fallen prey to the new men stationed there? Had the professor slipped away into the beyond, chuckling at his devilish cleverness? The door opened. Maddox spun around, relieved to see it was the doctor.
"Well?"
he asked.
"You're human,"
the doctor said.
"Ah, well..."
The man hesitated awkwardly.
"I'm half human, you mean to say?" "No, you're fully human, but..."
"But part of me is a mutated new man." The doctor nodded, still unwilling to meet his gaze.
"You're free to go, Captain."
"Just like that, huh?" Maddox asked.
"I beg your pardon?"
"Don't you know that I've..." "Oh, never mind."
"Is something wrong, young man?"
Maddox shook his head, although inside he was nodding. There was something wrong, all right. He had doubted himself. As he left the examining room and the Marine guards behind, Maddox thought about that. Causing a man to doubt his very identity could be a powerful weapon. Such a moment would be the perfect time for an enemy to strike. Maddox stepped outside at street level. Riker had left with the flitter some time ago, leaving Maddox to his own resources. The captain didn't feel like calling the Brigadier yet. She must have gone home to bed. It was late in Geneva, well past midnight.
The sergeant and he had traveled across a third of the world while staying ahead of the dawn. Maddox felt groggy but decided against public transport. He could walk. It might help clear his mind. His internal time made it mid-morning, what it would be in Shanghai about now. He moved briskly along a sidewalk, replaying the latest events. Who stood behind the Shanghai androids? Was it the same people or beings that had given them the Ludendorff android? That seemed the most likely, but it wasn't conclusive. The most logical answer was the mysterious builders. They were aliens, having built the Silver Pyramids and having helped the Addox 6,000 years ago against the Swarm. Starship Victory was an Addox warship, which meant Galleon, the ship's AI, could have possible builder connections. Why would the builders put androids in the Spacer Embassy? Were the ancient aliens meddling with humanity again? Did the builders really stand behind the new men? Or was it Strand and Ludendorff, as the facts seemed to indicate so far? There were too many puzzles in play. Starwatch needed to know the truth in order to make the best decisions. Clearly, aliens had meddled with humanity in the past, meaning they could be doing the same thing now. As his boots struck pavement, Maddox determined to answer the riddle. He loathed the idea of someone pushing humanity like ciphers for mysterious alien goals.